Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560. From high atop the Gow Building, overlooking the Galleria, here's Glenn Davis.
Okay, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. I'm Glenn Davis. This is Dynamo All Access. We power on. Again, we remind you to get down to BBVA Compass Stadium Saturday night. The Dynamo will be taking on the San Jose Earthquakes. Joining us now, he is one of our great guests here on the program. He is Dynamo striker and attacking player. Also, Jamaican international, Giles Barnes. Giles, thank you very much, as always, for coming on the program.
Anytime, Glenn. You know that, my man.
All right. So, you know, I think the first thing fans are going to want to know is, I mean, it's been an unbelievable amount of travel for you. How are you fatigue-wise, and how are you handling, sort of the emotional processing of a Gold Cup, a Copa America, and now right back in the thick of it with a Western Conference race chasing a playoff spot?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty draining, to be honest with you. You know, it's the first time I've experienced, obviously, international football at this level, obviously playing in the Copa America, coming back for, like, I think it was a game, and then going away for Gold Cup, you know, and then obviously what an experience that was, you know, to get away and get as far as we did. But it's been a lot of games for me in a short period of time, you know, and Owen, to be fair to him, has been brilliant with me. He's given me a few days off, you know, to try and make sure that I'm fresh for the weekend, you know. So the staff and everyone around have been really good in trying to make sure that I'm as fresh as possible for the weekend.
Giles, is it fair to say that this is the most volume of football you've played in your professional career based on the fact that, you know, now you're in the international game?
No, the championship's pretty heavy, to be honest with you. You know, with it's like 46 games in a season, then you get FA Cup runs, etc. You can play like 50-odd games. So that's pretty strenuous. But this is the first time I've actually played, I think, near enough 2 months, almost every 3 days, 4 days, like back-to-back. So I've never experienced anything like that before.
He's Giles Barnes joining us here ahead of the Dynamo San Jose this week. And by the way, get your tickets over at HoustonDynamo.com. Catch Giles in action. It's been a kind of crazy season because, you know, just when you think you're starting to get people healthy, you get Nathan Sturgis sent off. Ricardo Clark goes down injured. This really is about makeshift lineups. And I don't mean makeshift in a way. I'm not being negative here, but it's really been difficult for a manager to put lineups together here. And it really is about, it seems to me, Giles, and you can correct me, but it seems to me to be a lot about players quickly and cohesively getting together no matter what the 11 is.
Yeah, you know, that's a big thing, especially to deal with throughout the season, you know. Obviously, we've had quite a few injuries, some suspensions, international games. So, you know, I think with what we've had to deal with, again, you know, I know we said the same last year with the World Cup, etc., but I think we're in a really good position now that everyone is near enough healthy, you know, unfortunately with Ricardo going down. But again, we've still got an abundance of talented players that are ready and willing to step in until those people are fit or are willing to, you know, stake their place for the actual starting 11 too. So it's healthy in that sense, you know, but it's always unfortunate when, you know, one of your best players always goes down.
Giles, do you think the fan gets the progress that's being made right now? I mean, a lot of fans just look at records, winning and losing, and we all know that's not necessarily the gauge for progress being made. I mean, for me, I see a deeper team. I see more competition. I see a team having more fun. I see a different purpose of play being implemented slowly. I see things slowly and subtly crystallizing. But it is slow, and it is a patient process because there is a lot of newness here.
Yeah, there was always going to be that as well, Glenn, you know. You look at the players that we've acquired, you know, you've got some young, great talent, you know, Kubo Torres, Lionel Miranda, Mauro Manotas, just to name a few, you know, and they're going to be around for the Dynamo for years to come, you know, 6, 7, 8 years. And you're looking, you're thinking, you know, obviously, the short-term goal was obviously beating in the playoffs and, you know, challenging for MLS Cup. But, you know, we're on track for that. And, you know, we've always got the future to look forward to as well, you know. We want to be winning the trophy, you know, 4, 5, 6 years on the bounce. So with the excitement of all those guys coming in, and obviously the team, obviously building every single game and every single training session, you know, it was always going to be a process. But if you look, we're not far off of where we actually need to be, which is in that playoff run. And everyone knows what happens when we get to the playoffs.
He's Giles Barnes. He joins us now here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Giles, how about a couple of words on Eric Kubo-Torres? So I'm making you a manager now with a critical eye. Tell me about the things that really stick out to you when you train with him and you play with him.
His link-up play. He's very good. He's a very smart footballer. He makes good runs. You know, you can hit the ball into him. He knows when to set it off, when to turn and shoot. He's got a great eye for goal. But, you know, always the main thing for me is the kind of character and personality that steps into the locker room. And it honestly feels like he's been here ever since I've been here. He's a great character. He's laughing and smiling. He speaks very good English as well, which I don't think a lot of people know. He's a great guy, as well as a great soccer player too. So, you know, so it's a great pickup for us. And another one, it's another one for many years to come because he's a young boy too.
Now, when you see an Eric Kubo-Torres come in, you know, do you look and you say to yourself, wow, this is a beautiful compliment to my game? Because, listen, we all know that teams, within teams, people positioned next to each other are put in places on purpose in order to bring the best out of others. So what about you and him in a partnership?
Yeah, you know, and you can add Will into that too, who's been on fire in front of goal. So you've got a front three there that can score goals, you know. Obviously, I've played a little bit deeper probably, well, most of the season, really, in that kind of central midfield role. So, you know, if I'm found to be playing there for the rest of the year, it's no bother to me. I want to be successful. And so whatever it takes to be successful, I'm willing to do. And, you know, when I've got players like that in front of me too, who I know that are going to score goals and help the team too, it's, for me, it's really exciting, Glenn. Really, really exciting.
Last year was a tough year for the team overall. But I never saw your enthusiasm for the game wane. I can't say that about everybody, and I'm not trying to be critical here, but during tough times and tough seasons, some people fade away, others remain engaged and intact. I've been on teams like that. So in this case, I see a Will Bruin this year that excites me because he's got a little more fire in the belly, it just seems to me.
Yeah, he's got something went off inside Will, you know. You know, maybe it was him coming out the team for the 2-3 games at the beginning of the year. But he's hungry, you know. He's hungry to do well. He always has been hungry to do well. And I think maybe he took a step back to go 10 steps forward. In front of goal, he's been on fire. You know, he works hard. Working hard has never been a question about Will, you know. He's using his body a lot better this year. He's linking play. And, you know, he's been fantastic to watch, you know. I've obviously caught a lot of the games whilst I've been away on MLS and that kind of thing. And, you know, Will's been fantastic for me.
How about in the Galaxy game when he took that delivery, that beautiful delivery from Brad Davis on his protected, well, I don't know if he took it off his protected foot or not, but he finished with his left foot, and it was a clinical finish. And everybody was so focused on the wonderful delivery that I think many of us might have forgotten. My goodness, this was a clinical, this was a goal scorer's finish.
Yeah, that's a striker in form. Not just the finish, the touch, the coolness in the box. You know, to do that and stay that calm and then to trust yourself on your weaker foot to put that away, that's someone who's very confident in their ability and someone who's playing well at the top of their game. And, you know, for me, it's great to see, you know. I wanted to see the Will that scored 16 goals when I first came to the team. And, you know, he's replicating that this year. And, you know, I'm sure there's going to be many years to come when he's firing the goals for the Dynamo.
He's Giles Barnes. He joins us. Hey, listen, it's a marquee matchup this weekend against the San Jose Earthquake. It is time to get out and support the Dynamo here because this is the time they have to go on a run. 12 games to go in the Dynamo season. 10 out of those 12 will be against Western Conference opponents. So, really, this destiny is really, you know, in your own control here.
Yeah, it's in our own hands. You know, we know exactly what we need to do to be where we need to be. We need to take points off of people in our conference. We need to make those games count, you know. And as I said, you know, we're focused. Everyone's looking forward to the running. So, yeah, we're very confident in ourselves and in the group that we're going to be where we need to be, which is in those playoffs.
Giles, you got family in town for the game. Your mom's here. Your sister's here. That's got to be exciting for you.
Yeah, they come into town for my birthday. So it was a great kind of, not a surprise, you know, because they kind of knew, told me a few days before they were coming in. But wonderful to have them both out here. My sister's first time in Houston as well. And they obviously get to come to a few games. So couldn't be any happier right now.
What are your thoughts on San Jose going into this game? Because even though you guys got beat by them 1-0 on an Adam John goal earlier in the year, I thought you guys were the better football team. And then, of course, the Dynamo went out to San Jose and had a very comprehensive 2-0 win out there. So this does look like a team that's there for the taking. I know it is Major League Soccer. You must have respect for all opponents. But this really is a game, if we're looking at it from the outside here on Friday night, we have to say this is a winnable game. This is, I hate to use these words, but a must-win game.
It is a must-win game, Glenn. You know, we need to get points to get where we need to be. And, you know, they're obviously a good side. They're run by Dominic Kinnear. Everyone knows how Dom is. He's a hard opponent to play against. So that's how we'll set his team up. But we do feel, as I said before, against anyone as long as we're at it. So we fear nobody.
Is there an extra motivation when the former manager comes in, Dom?
There's always a little bit of bite to it, obviously, you know, maybe for the boys who didn't get as much time underneath Dom as well. And then obviously the boys that he did pick on a regular basis still want to show him that, you know, we're still doing it even if you're not here. So yeah, it's always a good game in, but everyone knows what Dom did for the Dynamo. So there's a respect element as well.
It's a nice storyline, but in the end, this is really about you guys, not about the San Jose Earthquakes, nor about Dominic Kinnear, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about us. It's about us going out there, playing the best football that we can do, scoring lots of goals, being tight on the defense, and coming out with the 3 points.
Well, Giles, listen, we wish you the best of luck. Go out there, continue the exciting play that you've been providing at BBVA Compass Stadium. And again, thank you very much for coming on the program and taking the time.
Anytime, Glenn. Catch you soon, man.
All right. Likewise. Thank you, Giles. That's Giles Barnes. Ahead of the Dynamo and San Jose Earthquakes this weekend, a number of interesting nuggets there for Giles on Eric Kubo Torres and others. We'll take a break here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. It's a 7-Up.
Listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud White, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gal Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. If you are not going down to BBVA Compass Stadium this Saturday, well, you can always tune in and or set your VCR and catch the game on Root Sports. We'll do a pregame show, a postgame show. My partner, Eddie Robinson, Root Sports, former Dynamo defender. He joins us now. Eddie, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good, good. I'm excited. We had a great night last night over on our sister station, ESPN 97.5, and we're going to continue the soccer talk here with you tonight in the Houston Dynamo. Let's get first your thoughts on the Dynamo at Sporting Kansas City and your overall feel on that night, that match, a 1-1 draw.
Man, it's just another typical MLS match. A couple of missed calls by the official. A couple of really, I mean, the chances that Will Bruin missed, I think about 15 minutes into the game, and the chance that Ricardo Clark missed later on around the 35th minute, the Dynamo could have easily been up going in the locker room at halftime instead of being down 1-0. They were disappointed. You go to the second half, Ricardo Clark scores the late equalizer but gets injured. So, you know, arguably one of the most consistent players on the team all year, arguably the best player on the team all year, he's out this coming weekend against San Jose. Then you get Nathan Sturgis, a questionable red card, what to me was a definite yellow and a foul. And then the late missed handball by the referee on Garrido. But I think at the end of the day, it was 1-1 was fair. Because in the second half, Kansas City, they got some chances. If not for David Horst, the Dynamo probably would end up losing that game. So the Dynamo are disappointed. They should be, because they did enough to win that game. And we talked to Owen Coyle about consistency and how's he going to get it now that he's missing all these players. Tomorrow night's going to be interesting.
Yeah, Nathan Sturgis sent off, not available, suspended. It looks as though Ricardo Clark and Tyler Derrick are not going to be able to play. There's going to be a number of changes, as Eddie mentioned. So let's go right to an area where there will be change in central midfield. I think it's pretty obvious Luis Garrido would come back in the lineup. But, boy, getting this balance right and having to change things so much and get people cohesive as an 11-man unit, this is tough stuff, especially when you're driving to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, the Dynamo have 12 games left, and for me, they have to win six, at least win six. That's 18 points. That puts them up near that 50-point threshold. Not quite there, but near it. Now that they've added another playoff spot, maybe that postseason number is a little bit below 50, 48, 49. The Dynamo have to win six games to get that done. They have six home games left and six away games left. So they cannot afford a stumble. And when you look at the most important part of the Dynamo team over the last month and a half, whether they win, whether they lose, has been, as you just mentioned, the cohesion of the midfield three. When those guys, their spacing is good, their possession is good, their decision-making is good. Ricardo Clark, Brad Davis, whoever's in there, is getting goals and assists. The Dynamo win games. When they're poor, the Dynamo lose games. So now you're going to have at least two new guys in there tomorrow night. You probably a safe bet that Giles Barnes will play in the number 10 role. But who plays behind them? Luis Garrido, most likely. I'd really like to see Rashid Olabi. The few minutes that we've got to see him play, he's looked very athletic, very quick, and, I mean, it could be a pleasant surprise if he gets in and he plays as well as I would expect him to.
Yeah, Olabi is a real option there. I don't think there's any question. That's a great point that you bring up. The Western Conference has Vancouver, Dallas, L.A., Sporting Kansas City, Portland, and Seattle. Seattle has faded here. They're now 10-11-2. They've lost 11 soccer games, the Seattle Sounders, in 23 matches. The Dynamo have lost 8. The Dynamo are 7-8-7. Good news for the Dynamo. They're 2-1-2 in their last 5. But again, as we have mentioned here, a ton of changes will have to be made against San Jose. And my concern is with Giles Barnes, because Giles Barnes has done an inordinate amount of traveling. I don't think there's any question he is fatigued. He is also a guy that gets targeted. He will also head away again to play with against Venezuela in World Cup qualifying at the end of the month on an international date. Do you have concerns about how much fuel is in the tank of Giles Barnes?
Well, that's a good question. Not seeing him at training on Tuesday, and knowing that I believe they had the day off, the team had the day off Wednesday, he had a couple days of rest. The disappointment of what happened to Jamaica in the Gold Cup final, that they, you know, the disappointment that they made it to the final, they really wanted to win, combined with being away from this team and the teammates that he likes so much. I think it's obvious within social media when you're around them after training at different events. He really enjoys his teammates. He likes them. He cares about them. He loves it. He wants to play. You know that he wants to play. His desire is there to perform and do well. Like you said, how much gas is in the tank? That's going to be the question. Maybe there's a pleasant surprise. And he absolutely just bombs on like he always does for 90 minutes and leads the Dynamo to a victory tomorrow night. But if not, you know, there's that. We can question, as the media, does he need a little bit more time off? Does he need to be a little bit more diligent? Does he need to be a little bit more responsible and understanding? Say, coach, I'm a little bit tired. I think I can give you 60 tonight. I want you to know. I want to be honest with you. And that will earn him just as much respect from his coaches, from his teammates, as would, you know, going in and playing and scoring two goals. I mean, there's a professional element to it, and you have to understand your body and make sure that you don't overexert.
As Eddie mentioned, the Dynamo have 12 games to go, including Saturday against the Earthquakes, 36 points available, 6 games at home, 6 on the road, 10 of these 12 games against Western Conference opponents. So all you can say after that is Saturday is huge. I hate to use the word must win, but this is a question I'm going to ask Giles Barnes later in the show. Is this a must-win game for the Dynamo?
I think it is. They haven't done very well on the road this year. They've only got 6 home games left, as I said, I believe they need to win at least six to put themselves in a playoff position. So for me, I think it is.
Yeah, it's a huge one. I'm looking forward to calling this one with you, Eddie, on Root Sports. As always, thank you for coming on. Last night we had a lot of good fun with Rene Aguilar of ESPN Deportes and Felipe Valenzuela of BN Sport. That was a fun roundtable last night, wasn't it?
It was a fun time, and as always, I like going out and getting some good food with you afterward.
We had a great time, and we solved all the world's soccer problems, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
In a span of an hour. You, me, Rene, and Felipe. Eddie, as always, thank you. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow night down at the stadium for our call on Root Sports.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Have a great night.
Bye, buddy.
Thanks, Eddie, for coming on the show. And, of course, we are going to play some of that roundtable for you here tonight that also included, along with Eddie, Felipe Valenzuela of BN Sport and Rene Aguilar of ESPN Deportes. So stay with us. Some good hot topics that we all discuss in the world of soccer. It's Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. It's break time.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud White, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gal Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Dynamo All Access here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. I'm Glenn Davis. Now, last night we had a great roundtable over on our sister station on the program, Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We want to air some of this again for you. Here are the guys that were involved in this roundtable along with me. Felipe Valenzuela of BN Sport. He had been down at the Copa America covering that. Also, Rene Aguilar of ESPN Deportes has a show and program over there. And, of course, my partner on Root Sports, former Dynamo defender Eddie Robinson. Take a listen to this. It was good fun. Let's just talk about the influx. And I know we've bantered this topic around a lot, but I want you to dig a little deeper into it. The influx of players that have come from foreign countries now. Look, at the star quality is unbelievable. Sebastian Giovinco scoring goals for fun. You got Lampard. You got Pirlo in New York, along with a small name player named David Villa. You got out in L.A. Gio Dos Santos set the debut this weekend. The stars to Major League Soccer. Eddie, you go first. What does it mean?
It means ticket sales. It means international recognition. It means respect. Even when David Beckham came, the biggest name in soccer at the time, he's obviously been surpassed now by Messi and Ronaldo. That's a different discussion. But there still wasn't the respect of that. This league still didn't have the respect around the world, internationally, especially in Europe, that it has now. And I think not just these international big names, but when you look at the Gold Cup and you look at the success of Haiti, of Jamaica, of these smaller clubs, Major League Soccer isn't just helping the sport in America. It's helping the sport in all of North and Central America.
Interesting thing to point out. Remember when Pelé came? I was a teenager.
Yeah.
That was a big spike for the sport. It was different because the grassroots was not thick. Beckham came and shined the light on the league to the world. This was a masterstroke by MLS because they also offered him a franchise at a cut-rate price of $20 million, I believe, which ultimately will keep him involved in the brand Beckham, still a part of Major League Soccer, synonymous. This was a masterstroke. So we've had these signings now that Felipe continue to make it exciting. I mean, we just got a taste of it with Gerard coming here to Houston.
Yeah, and besides that, Gio Dos Santos, if he's here now with the LA Galaxy, you might think that he was going to stay in Spain, but he came to USA. Now, he doesn't mind to sign a contract for $4 million every year. Like I said, you know, I met Eddie when he was playing with the Houston Dynamo, go back to, CONCACAF Champions League, and that he played Pachuca. But he's right. It's respect with the MLS right now. You got the Steven Gerrard, you got the Pirlo. I mean, those players, they have a little bit left in their soccer. But, I mean, they're playing right now excellent soccer. I mean, we see those stadiums packed. You got Kaká in Orlando. I mean, every single game over there is packed. I mean, you want to see those kind of players that they're going to do something for your team. Now, the Mexican League, talking as a Mexican, they are concerned, you know, the most of the guys that they play in the MLS, they say, why are they going there? Why? Because there's tickets. There's advertising and the sponsors.
Let's not forget lifestyle.
Yeah, quality
correct.
Of life.
I mean,
that's the most important.
You go to New York, you go to L.A., piece of cake. We got Eric El Cubo Torres here in Houston, and he can make a difference if he plays the way the coach wants him to play.
All right, hold that thought, because that's going to be a separate question about what he can do on and off the field. So, Renee, you address it as well here.
I agree with him.
Felipe just brought out a lot of big names. We forgot Kaká.
Yeah,
I agree with him. You know, it's about tickets and promotion. But I think MLS is from it's a very young league. It's 25 years old, more likely. And if you compare with other leagues, they've been for, like, in Argentina, Brazil, Mexico, they've been for years and years, more than 50 years. So I think they're making the right move, bringing these players, because not only they sell, but they're going to bring the experience to the players. And you can start telling people that play here in MLS, they're playing with their country, for example, Salvador, they have a very good team. They're very competitive. So they start bringing more experience to the MLS. And I think the lifestyle is a very important thing, because now, for example, Cubo prefers to play in MLS than Mexico. And they have the offer. But I think this is the breaking point where most of the players are going to start preferring coming to the United States because of lifestyle. Mexico is a different, completely different.
How much is it about purely security in Mexico? Your safety. Tell me how much of it is about that.
I can tell you there's... I heard very, very bad things about, you know, security in Mexico. You know that sometimes, you know, bad things happen there. So I think if the lifestyle is good here, and you feel comfortable, and the media doesn't attack you, doesn't push you that bad like in Mexico. They you make two or three games bad, and then they hit you. You know, in the United States, it's more comfortable. It's a lifestyle that I think the players like.
Well, here in Houston, I can having been married to a Mexican national and going down there, you know, and having to go out with a bodyguard in Mexico City, it's ridiculous. And
right.
You think it's overkill, and then you go, well, how much of this is overkill and how much is this about reality? And you're not going to take the risk. But we also noticed that there's a ton of ex-Mexican footballers moving up into the Woodlands.
Sure.
Having lived there, I was walking down the street. I saw Garcia.
That's right. That's my point.
And all these guys are moving there, and they're moving there because of security.
And besides that, Glenn, I think Eddie can tell you that. We were talking, like I said, about Pachuca game. The fans over there in Mexico, they are more fanatics. I mean, they go crazy. They will insult you. They will throw things at you. They will do anything. The fans in MLS, they're different. We see families. We see kids. We see a good atmosphere. You know, and once in a while in Mexico, we get carried over. So there goes the fights in the stands. There go the fights and insult the players in the field. And at times they have to suspend the games. That's a sad thing to say.
But I'm going
to
provide this other point and lead into Eddie here. We see a lot of stuff happen at NFL games too. So everybody's not angelic over here. And it is important, though, to find the cultural balance between what gets people to the games from Mexico and Central America and South America, and then meld that with the corporate side of it. And the question, this is the golden question.
You're reading my mind. Number one, what separates passionate fan from a fanatic? Where's that line? Correct. That's the biggest problem. All of the MLS owners, Major League Soccer, everyone involved wants passionate fans. They want people who are dedicated to the team. They don't want people who are throwing things at the players. Where do you draw that line? Now in Houston, with Eric Cubo Torres, for so long, you have this authentic, not just Mexican, but Central American base of culture that is huge in Houston. It's massive. But they are tied to their clubs from their countries that they were from. Why? Because we're not better than them. It's getting close, but we're not better than them. And all they want to do is, how do we get those fans to come? Now, we finally get a player in his prime. I mean, this is Luis Hernandez years ago with LA Galaxy.
Correct.
He was aging a little bit. Now we've got a Mexican player in his prime choosing MLS. So maybe now some of these Hispanic fans will say, well, wait a minute. Maybe this is something I can support. Maybe this is something I can stand by.
I was talking that on ESPN Deportes about people, they love their, for example, people from Monterrey, they love Rayados, they love Tigres, and they say, I will never go for any other team, right? But there's a lot of fans out there, they don't mind because they've been living in Houston for so long. They get attached to the city. They have kids here, and they don't mind to wear the orange shirt. And that's the movement, start moving fans from massive fans to the Dynamo. I think that's the right point where I think probably you will see in the next, I say months, probably years.
We had great fun last night doing that show and getting into a number of different topics. More of the round table to come. We'll take a break here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Stay with us.
Listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560. From high atop the Gal Building overlooking the Galleria, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, tonight we are going to finish in style with more of the roundtable, so just let me reset everything and remind you who was on this show. These are all commentators and people involved with the game of sport. Felipe Valenzuela of BN Sport. We had Rene Aguilar of ESPN Deportes, and of course, Eddie Robinson, who partners me on Root Sports, also the former Dynamo defender. So, we finish it up with more conversation around a number of different topics in world soccer. All right, so let's move on to Miguel Herrera. Mexico wins the Gold Cup, albeit somewhat controversially.
Why is he laughing? Why is Eddie laughing?
He goes after a reporter at the airport, promptly loses his job. So now Mexico's got a lot of questions. Let's first talk about, certainly there's nobody in this room. There's nobody in this room that believes this was going to be a long-term hire as a manager. Rene, you start.
It was a time bomb. You know, Herrera, from the beginning, he was a very aggressive player. And some of the times that he kicked and some people, players. And, you know, it was just sometimes we think about who is behind Herrera, who control him, and tell him not to do things. But when Herrera is not, it's like nobody can stop him. Nobody tells him, you know, you have to do this or don't do that. He goes away from, out of the expectations, you know. And I think it was a time bomb. We saw Herrera in the good times winning. And when he went to the conference, he was telling, you know, this is the way we play. Everything was very beautiful.
He righted a ship that had a bunch of coaches in a short amount of time.
Everybody was thinking about when did he start losing, how he's going to control that, how he's going to respond and control himself. And that's what happened. People, he started losing the games. The Copa America was really bad, and the media in Mexico was hitting real hard. So that's why I think Herrera was a time bomb. It was just a matter of time.
Felipe, listen, I want to guide you into Herrera as well, and I want to say this: emotional, passionate. He was a star. He got him to the World Cup. They had a boatload of coaches coming in and out. He settled it down, got him to the World Cup, albeit with a little help from the United States. And, Michael, by the way, you need to get that goal call out for me from the announcer because it's one of the great – it is the greatest goal call in the history, and I want the guys to listen to this when we come back from the next break. But back to Herrera. Was this just ego? Ego out of control?
You know what? I do believe Miguel Herrera is a great coach. But, I mean, he got the Mexican national team – before they went to the World Cup, they play New Zealand. I mean, you got to be kidding me. If you don't beat New Zealand, I mean, you're pretty much done. His temper is, you know, is pretty. I have a couple times. I interview him one-on-one and everything. And he's a good person, but his temper is really, really, really bad. Now, what happened on the airport in Philadelphia, bringing his daughter, and hitting in the face to another reporter, that was probably what the Mexican Federation said. You know what?
Why would his daughter be with him on a Mexican national team?
Why is she on
Twitter? I mean, it's just so stupid.
And she is just pretty much bashing every single player, you know. And and I don't understand. And the history of sports, you know, what is your son or daughter doing on the press conferences, on the airplane, on the practices? I mean, she got no business there. I mean, and I'm pretty sure the Mexican Federation, they say, you know what? We're pretty much done.
Don't you think the players were uncomfortable with that?
They were uncomfortable, too. I mean, we did a really bad Copa America. We were the first team out. Copa Oro, if you ask me for Gold Cup, if it was legit for them to win a championship, and I tell you as it is, it wasn't our Gold Cup. I mean, look at what happened.
We're going to get into that.
Costa Rica, we didn't beat it.
Well, hold the thought on that, because we are definitely going to get into that. How about your thoughts, Eddie, on Miguel Herrera?
He's entertaining, right? And then when it comes to sports at that level, there's a certain amount of value that goes with someone that is that entertaining. The people like opening the papers the day after and hearing some of the crazy things that he says or the crazy things that he does. And was he a good motivator for the players at times? Probably. Was his enthusiasm and his intensity a plus at times? Probably. But did he take it too far in that temper? It's like we talked about a fine line earlier between passion and fanaticism. Now it's a fine line between competitiveness and temper, as you guys are saying. And his competitiveness got the best of him, and it cost them what could be a really good job. And when you look at the amount of quality players in Mexico, there is no reason that they shouldn't, for the last 10 years, for the foreseeable future, win CONCACAF every year because of the quality they have in Mexico. Their youth development is so much. That's a dream job for if you have the right temperament. And I think he just took it too far.
I think when you're that married to emotion and passion, yeah, at some point you'll burn out. I actually loved him during the World Cup. Loved him with the emotion, how he resurrected Mexico. And then I became to get bored with the amount of times the camera's on him. I just got exhausted. So let's talk about who's the next Mexico manager. We've heard Marcelo Bielsa out there. Who do you guys think is going to become the next manager of El Tri?
I heard that Bielsa reject. He don't even know. The last time I heard something, he said the Mexican Federation, they haven't talked to him. So I don't think he's going to be one. Ferretti says, definitely no, I'm not interested. Maybe, you know, for a coach for Mexico, you have to have a lot of things together. And one of them is, like Herrera, he was on all the commercials, TV, and he was very popular and doing commercials. And I think that's one of them. And I think maybe Matosas probably has all the, you know, all the things that they need to be a coach. But, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think it has to be not on a Mexican coach. They need to be something from Argentina, Colombia, from another country.
So Renee says go foreign. What do you think? Does it have to be a Mexican coach or can it be a foreign coach?
No, it doesn't have to be Mexican, Glenn. I agree with Renee. You know, Tuca Ferretti is probably one of the coaches with a big temper, and he can, you know, control the players. You know, Herrera some way, somehow, you know, he didn't have that power to, you know, like we were talking before, you know, he didn't have the power to say, you know what, you're going to do this for me or that, you know. Marcelo Bielsa is a great coach. You know, that's someone that I respect. I heard by the grapevine, and don't quote me, you know, I heard from a really good friend in Mexico, and I'm not going to say his name, but Pep Guardiola was in their mind. Pep Guardiola with Bayern Munich, his contract is pretty much done. So,
just bear with me.
I mean, he's coming for Bayern Munich to Mexico. The Mexican Federation got money? You betcha. They do. They do have a lot of money, and they can pay for that.
Here's what I think's happening to Pep. Pep's going to end up at Manchester City, and guess who's going to take over Bayern Munich? One Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, he will. I believe that.
Perfect. Yep.
He's a perfect fit.
That's a domino effect I think is going to happen. That'll do it tonight here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Love getting the opinion of Renee, Felipe, and Eddie on that roundtable. I continue to seek out the opinion of others on all of our radio programming. That'll do it. Get over to HoustonDynamo.com for season tickets. Also, Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook, Soccer Matters.
Let's get after it. We got a big, big game on Saturday night. The Dynamo and San Jose. Be there at BBVA Compass Stadium. For producers Adam Sager and Michael Carroll, we appreciate all the great hard work from them. We will say goodnight. Have a great weekend. Get down to BBVA Compass Stadium. Catch the Dynamo and San Jose. I'm Glenn Davis, signing off.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.